That's enough. Hey, Truth Seekers. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Molloy program. What is it about Friday? The news on Friday. Friday is always like the, the screen over the drainage in a sewer. It just collects everything. The water goes on through and the stuff kind of gets caught on the screen. We've got three or four things tonight. They're just astonishing. Everything from Gerald Nadler and Doug Feith yesterday in another one of these stupid ass hearings. McCain saying that Barack Obama is a socialist, and there's something now called a time horizon for U.S. troop withdrawals. A time horizon, huh? And the Oberman does this thing, worst person in the world. I don't know how he missed this one. We have the worst person. He's a scum sucking bastard from San Francisco. He does a talk show out there, Michael Wiener. He goes by the name Savage because it's much better than calling himself Michael Wiener. But he came up with something the other day that just absolutely puts this guy in the crapper, as far as I'm concerned. This guy would have made a nice guard at Sobibor or something. What a piece of human waste. But anyway, we'll get to that funner frivolity in a minute. I'm having a bit of a problem. Daryl sent me something right before the program here. There's a website that, well, it's called You've Been Left Behind. .com, and when you, it's just YOUVE, no apostrophe, You've Been Left Behind .com, and this is from Wired.com, the blog site at Wired.com. It says, if millions of Christians suddenly disappear from the face of the earth as the opening act for Armageddon, threat level thinks most non-believers will be too busy freaking the hell out to check their email, but if they do log in, now they can be treated to some post-rapture needling from their missing friends and loved ones, courtesy of this web startup, You've Been Left Behind .com. For just $40 a year, believers can arrange for up to 62 people to get a final message exactly 6 days after the rapture. That time when, according to Christian End Times Psychosis, Christians will be swept up to heaven while doubters are left behind to suffer 7 years of tribulation under a global government headed by the Antichrist. This stuff is so good. I love this kind of stuff. I love it. You know, blood dripping from the teeth and horned whores coming up out of the sea and seven-headed dragons. I mean, this... You know, John of what? One of the Greek Johns who wrote this stuff had to have been an acid head, or a peyote button eater or something. I don't know, but anyway, the You've Been Left Behind gives you, the website says this: You've Been Left Behind gives you one last opportunity to reach your lost family and friends for Christ. That's what the website says, and it's purportedly run by Christians for Christians. The domain name is registered through an anonymous proxy service, presumably to protect the proprietors from the forces of darkness, and not because they're up to anything shady. You know, Satan can't figure out how to work his way through an anonymous proxy service, right? Couldn't do that. The emails will be triggered when three of the site's five Christian staffers, who, according to the site, are, quote, scattered around the U.S., end quote, fail to log in for 6 days in a row. A system that incorporates a nice margin of safety should two of the proprietors turn out to be unrepentant sinners or atheists. But anyway, users can also upload up to 150 megabytes of documents which will be protected by an unidentified encryption algorithm until the rapture, and then released to up to 12 non-believers of your choice. The site recommends that you use the storage to house sensitive financial information. Oh, I get it. I mean, if it's really the rapture, what in the hell do the rapturees care about sensitive financial information? But the people who built the website? Yo! Send me your sensitive financial information. We'll protect it. The site goes on to say, quote, in the encrypted portion of your account, you can give them access to your banking, brokerage, hidden values, valuables, and powers of attorney. There won't be any bodies, so probate court will take 7 years to clear your assets to your next of kin. 7 years, of course, is all the time that will be left. So basically, the government of the Antichrist will get your stuff unless you make it available in another way, end quote. Holy God, are these rapture-ready Christians this stupid? Yes. And the blog site goes on, of course, some of us would sooner trust the Antichrist with our stuff than turn it over to a company that hides behind an anonymous domain registration service and doesn't list a single corporate officer or employee by name on its website. The company, You've Been Left Behind, LLC, didn't didn't respond to an email query raising the obvious question of whether the rapture has already begun. Yeah, send us, upload all your really sensitive private, you know, financial information. Give us all your account numbers and passwords. We'll encrypt it for you. Wink, wink. Because then, after your ass floats heavenward naked, naked, isn't that going to be fun? Oh, God, so to speak. Floating heavenward naked? Do you know what the temperature is at 30,000? Oh, never mind. So I can't get my mind around the idea that people really do believe this stuff. John of Patmos, that's who it was, right? John of Patmos, is he the one who wrote... Revelation, the book of Revelation, an obvious drug trip gone horribly bad. But so there you have it. I don't even know if the site's still up. This missive is about a month old. YouveBeenLeftBehind.com. Unbelievable stuff, huh?
I wish I still had bookmarked the blog site that I went to when Israel and Palestine were going at it hot and heavy about a year ago. And all
you
the
mean
women,
Lebanon.
I'm sorry, you're right, Lebanon. And everyone was rapture ready. And the women on this particular blog
I remember that.
Were
oh my God.
Cracking me up. It was like, get a boob job for Jesus. I got to go get my hair done. Ooh, my nails are a wreck. I can't let my Lord see me like this. I got to go get prettied up because, you know, everybody knows in the Bible that Jesus likes a woman with great big painted lips and big boobs and freshly frosted hair. I mean, it's like Laura Pickles Bush gives beauty tips for those ready to ascend to the Almighty.
I remember that. I couldn't believe that sight. It was, you know, you log in and make comments. And Kathy said, sit down, have a drink, and read this.
They were serious. They were heading to the beauty parlor.
I know. They were ecstatic. They wanted as much death as possible in the Lebanon-Israeli flare-up, about, like she said, a little over a year ago. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. Oh, I can smell my Lord. He's coming. He's coming. I know he's coming. Oh, this is what we've been told about. Here it comes. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
It was almost as good as those scent of a savior candles and incense burners they were selling around Christmas a couple years ago for everyone who wondered, what would Jesus smell like?
It's craziness. This is insane stuff, but it's just, it floats out there like stuff in your commode. It just, you can't flush it. Huh? We'll be back after the break. This is just the beginning of the program. Wait till we get deep into it.
Oh, wait,
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car.
21 past the hour.
Through my trials and tribulations and my travels.
So you can do I'm just fascinated by this. I really am. My grandmother, who had pretty heavy influence in my upbringing, was a fundamentalist Christian. I didn't realize at the time. I didn't know the word fundamentalist Christian. I just knew that she believed in the Book of Revelation, for example, Lake of Fire and hell and damnation. Every Sunday when we came home from church, during the times I spent with her, which was usually all summer. After Sunday afternoon dinner, she would turn on the radio and listen to, she and my grandfather would sit there and listen to Billy Graham on the radio. And, you know, I loved my grandma. I didn't pay too much attention to the crazy part. I didn't know it was crazy at the time. It was just part of her. But that gave me kind of a background. Every summer when I spent time with her, she'd send me to vacation Bible school, which I hated. But, I had to learn more Bible verses than should have been legal at the time. Yada, yada, yada. But this whole interest of mine that focused on the Christian belief system was peaked when I got older and realized what the so-called Church of Rome had done in the name of Jesus over centuries. And it was astonishing. And then, of course, the Protestants who, in the beginning, were, even though Martin Luther was just a hideous anti-Semite, he actually believed, although I don't ask me chapter and verse because I couldn't provide it to you, but he believed all the Jews should have been burned, you know, hundreds of years before Hitler was even a gleam in his father's eye. So the whole Christian thing, the Crusades, all of it, just the murderous, you know, had it not been for Islam. There was a time during the Dark Ages when the human race probably just would hit a brick wall and ended. But the Islamic people in the Middle East were the ones that kept alive science and math and medicine and astronomy and yada yada. You know all this. You do know this, right? Of course you do. But this Christian belief system about death and destruction and blood and gore, the part that really got to me when I was a kid, with my grandmother and grandfather on Sundays, and every Sunday would be communion. And it was different in the Baptist church. It was just, it was bread and grape juice. And it was a symbolic, which freaked me out even then, because symbolic eating of flesh and drinking of blood. Ah! But then when I got older and realized that my Catholic friends really believed they turned into cannibals and blood drinkers when they took communion, holy jumping Jesus, that scared me. You people really believe this? You're eating flesh and drinking blood? Human flesh? Well, yeah, Mike, it's called transubstantiation. Why? Is there something wrong with that? Is there something wrong with it? Oh, my God. But this rapture stuff, what a scam. What an incredible, unbelievable, highly successful, magical, all-encompassing scam. Because you can't argue with it. I mean, you can spit on it and laugh at it and treat it like the dreck that it really is, but you can't argue. How are you going to argue with it? How are you going to argue with a rapture believer? What are you going to say? Hey, that's really not going to happen. Oh, yes, it is. No, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. God have mercy. McCain is really losing it, if he ever had it to begin with. You know, his snake-eyed lady. Every time I see Cindy, I just get a shiver up and down my spine. I think it has something to do with the leftover genetic material from, I don't know, millions of years ago when we first started to walk upright somewhere in Africa, and snakes were... you know, snakes would, great big ones would crawl into the cave and, you know, suck up the babies or whatever. And I guess that's where it comes from. You know, they call it the reptilian part of our brain or something. I don't know. But there's a snake connection there somewhere. That's why, you know, in the book of, oh my God, we're back to religion. In the book of Genesis, the snake, you know. Every time I see Cindy McCain with those snake eyes, she just scares the hell out of me. I can't think of anyone outside of a horror flick in the past 50 years who scared me more. This woman, you know, most of these political spouses are just dead. You know, you look at them and they've got a deadened, they got a smile on their face. I think Nancy Reagan was the epitome of that. Laura Bush is that way. With the exception of Hillary Clinton, she never looked dead. Oh my God, she never looked dead. But Cindy McCain doesn't look dead either. She looks like she could bring death, you know, great big, just incredible containers of it, you know, splashing it all over the place. Here's some more death. But, McCain is really losing. I got all off on Cindy there, is losing his mind. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Before the hour, youvebeenleftbehind.com. Anyway, McCain gave a speech today, and Lee in San Diego, I missed it, but Lee sent me an email about it. And, you know, I mean, the truth is, McCain is so not going to be president of anything. Every time I see him, it's getting weirder and weirder. It really is. Not just his paleo republicanism and his refusal to face reality. He's also got that snake-eyed woman of his to deal with. I would imagine that when she looks in the mirror, there's no reflection. Maybe that explains why her hair is always done the same way. I think she has a hairdresser from 1964 who keeps putting it in that French twist. And it's spooky. And McCain is spooky. The whole damn family is spooky. I don't know about the kids. I think I've seen a picture of the kids. The kids look normal, but I'd like to take a look at the backs of their necks where there might be a little scar that's healed over where the implant was put in. I don't know. I just know that the whole family freaks me out. Anyway, Lee writes, listening to McCain's speech today, he said he would not stand for importing more toys from China that have arsenic. Arsenic? There's arsenic in the toys, too? I thought it was mostly lead, but now it gets more bizarre. Douglas Feith, who should be brought up on war crimes, he should be charged, tried, and if found guilty, hanged. Douglas Feith, who is one of the chief architects of the international murder that this regime has been involved in, the Bush regime. But Douglas Feith is one of those who the standards that we applied for execution at the Nuremberg War Trials and the trials of the Japanese High Command after World War II, both of them after World War II, should be applied to these people. Why not? Fair is fair, right? And didn't we make a big deal about it back in the late 40s? That would be the 1940s. In the late 40s, about how justice had to prevail. This had to be stopped. People had to be held accountable. The High Command that had committed these horrendous acts of aggression. So Douglas Feith should be put on trial and, if found guilty, hanged. He really should, along with a whole bunch of them. But according to Think Progress, in yesterday's House Judiciary Subcommittee hearing on torture, God, how did we miss that, Kathy? I guess it was a Tuesday. Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat from New York, asked Douglas Feith if a 20-hour interrogation involving hooding and, quote, removal of clothing, end quote, was humane. Now, Douglas Feith, being the Nazi killer that he is, hedged, and he curiously claimed that, quote, removal of clothes is different from naked, end quote. Here's the brief transcript. Nadler, let me ask you, how could you force someone to be naked? Feith, it doesn't say naked. It doesn't say naked. Nadler, removal of clothing. Removal of clothing doesn't mean naked. Feith, removal of clothing is different from naked. If Bob sent this in, he writes, if removal of clothing is different from naked, then anything could be anything, like, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. I truly wish that the high command of the Bush crime family could, in fact, be arrested and put on trial for crimes against humanity and war crimes. And again, if found guilty of crimes, I guess they don't have the death penalty anymore, do they? No. The War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague does not any longer subscribe to the death penalty, primarily because the European Union doesn't subscribe to the death penalty. Most civilized countries don't. We do. We take capital punishment as an article of faith. Got to kill those sons of bitches. You know, it's a good deterrent to capital crimes. No, it isn't. But that, you know, that's kind of beside the point. So anyway, not hanging then. I guess Douglas Feith wouldn't be hanged because the standards applied at Nuremberg and in Tokyo Harbor by Douglas MacArthur no longer obtain. I've always wanted to say that. No longer obtain. What else? Diana in Florida writes, Mike, this afternoon as I stood in the checkout line at the supermarket, my glance strayed over to the magazine rack. I was shocked to see the words Muslim Slayer emblazoned across the front cover of a magazine there. After finishing my checkout, I went over to a magazine rack, picked up a copy, and sought out the store's manager. The magazine was the summer issue of MHQ, the Quarterly Journal of Military History. MHQ, the Quarterly Journal of Military History, if you want to Google it. The lead story was Muslim Slayer. I complained that the magazine's cover was inflammatory at a time when we should be seeking ways to reduce intercultural tensions in our nation, not increase them. I asked the manager how he would feel if the cover said Christian Slayer. My complaint was the more effective because I told him I was not a Muslim. Though I neglected to tell him I was not a Christian either. But as I live in the Deep South, I have little doubt he and the onlookers were Christians. I have little doubt that he and the onlookers were Christians. Apparently, Diana drew a little crowd there. Mike, please ask your listeners if they see this magazine on the rack in their local store to complain to the management. P.S. A Google search indicates I'm not the only one who had this reaction to the magazine. From Diana in Florida. Diana, you don't live in the Deep South. I live in the Deep South. You live in some strange appendage projected from the guts of the United States into the Caribbean. That's Florida. What else? It just gets more bizarre and more bizarre. McCain again. McCain Al sent this in. McCain says Obama has the most extremist voting record in the Senate. He says that Obama is more left than Bernie Sanders, and he's serious. Well, serious enough to lie, enough to try to ply the apathetic, ignorant, and idiot brains over to his extremist corporative side. Imagine a flip-flopping, lying, senile corporate lackey implying that a right-leaning moderate is an extremist left-winger. So, does anybody know the difference between a liberal and a conservative these days? How about the difference between a neoconservative, a libertarian, and an objectivist? How about a progressive, a communist, and a Christian? Arrest my case. McCain is a senile old piece of, and I can't say that word, but it rhymes with spit. So here's the transcript. McCain was interviewed by the Kansas City Star's Dave Helling after a town meeting yesterday in Kansas City. And here's this little exchange. Helling, you talked a little bit about Senator Obama today. You said he was the most extreme member of the Senate. McCain, yes, that's his voting record, my friend. Helling, extreme? You really think he's an extremist? I mean, he's clearly liberal. McCain, well, that's his voting record. All I said was his voting record, and it's more to the left than the announced socialist in the United States Senate, Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Helling, you really think he's a socialist, Barack Obama? McCain, oh, I don't know. All I know is his voting record. This is hardly the first time that McCain has tried to distort Obama's record and tag him as some sort of extremist. Joe Lieberman says, it's a good question to ask whether Obama is a Marxist. Glenn Beck, this piece of human waste on CNN headlines, rants about Michelle Obama having a socialist agenda. Bill Kristol believes the bitter remarks about guns and God revealed Obama's inner Karl Marx. The right-wing claim that Obama is the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate has already been just shredded. But take a look at McCain's voting record during the Bush years, and you'll see just what you would expect. Despite the conventional wisdom that McCain is a party-bucking maverick, he voted with Bush 91% of the time, including 100% in 2008, that's this year, and 95% in 2007. And you might want to note McCain's blatant lying toward the end of that little interview when he attempts to defend himself from flip-flopping charges. Well, you've got to see it. We'll post it. We'll post it at the website when the program's over tonight. But the this stuff with McCain is really, I don't think he's an evil man. I think he is a sick, degenerate freak who's just gone round the bend. I mean, he really has. You know, his snake-eyed wife just, I don't know, just kind of stares at him at night and rattles her tail, and, you know, McCain just loses it the next day.
Suppress, embrace your inner liberal warrior, Michael Lloyd.
A total range fighter over the hill. I saw the frontline boys popping their pills.
10 before the hour. I've got to share something with you. David Swanson sent out from AfterDowningStreet.org. He says in response to public demand for impeachment hearings and pressure from Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Congressman Robert Wexler and others, as well as electoral challenges by pro-impeachment candidates, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi finally caved and proposed to allow Kucinich to present one article of impeachment in a Judiciary Committee hearing. The hearing was then scheduled for Friday, July 25th. That's a week from today. And it's scheduled to last a full 2 hours, 10 a.m. to noon. Then the topic was altered. Rather than being about impeachment, the hearing will be about impeachment and other supposed remedies to a lawless presidency, with the bulk of the time devoted to those other remedies, obviously. Most of those other remedies will involve, believe it or not, legislative proposals. Huh? How to stop an outlaw regime, maybe? Thus, the deterrence to future presidents who follow the Bush-Cheney tradition of violating all laws and checks on power will be the knowledge that during the administration following Bush and Cheney, some bills were passed criminalizing what had always been criminal activity. Now, Swanson points out that rumor has it that there are two panels being planned for the hearing, one consisting of Kucinich and four other members of Congress. They will be Jane Harman, Walter Jones, Brad Miller, and Maurice Hinchey. The other panel, consisting of five non-Congress members, they will be Elizabeth Holtzman, Bruce Fine, Frederick Schwartz, John Dean, and Bob Barr. Each of these speakers will likely have 5 minutes for opening remarks. So, Kucinich's presentation of the impeachable offenses of 7.5 years will be limited to 5 minutes. Now, the hope of those planning this affair will be to bury impeachment. Swanson says they're going to fail. He writes, here's why they'll fail. Holtzman and Fine and Kucinich are among the most persuasive advocates for impeachment alive. At least those three speakers, it is safe to assume, will be standing up for our Constitution. Another you can add to that list is committee member Robert Wexler. Others are committee members Sheila Jackson Lee and Tammy Baldwin. It is safe to assume that these members will direct their questioning to the need for impeachment and the advocates of beginning it. Plus, Maurice Hinchey favors impeachment, too. Other supporters of impeachment on the committee are Keith Ellison, Steve Cohen, Hank Johnson, and Maxine Waters, as well as Luis Gutierrez and Anthony Weiner. Zoe Lofgren is also likely to speak up for impeachment. And those in the room, as audience, will be overwhelmingly defenders of the Constitution. But you can help defend it without going to Washington. Here's how. Contact the members of the Judiciary Committee. Just look it up online and insist that they be there on Friday the 25th and that they speak up for impeachment. Now, you can get information, go to afterdowningstreet.org/judiciarycommittee. afterdowningstreet.org/judiciarycommittee. All the information you need will be there. Now, this is one that we have to do. I badmouth sending letters to members of Congress all the time. You know that. Not this time. This is one that I'm going to respond to also. afterdowningstreet.org/judiciarycommittee. Because there is an attempt by these filthy, disgusting Democrats who are part of the problem, not the solution, to, as David points out, bury this. Absolutely destroy it. And I think we all are starting to understand why. Because those who would bury this impeachment, including Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, are complicit in some of the violations of international law committed by the Bush crime family. And as co-violators, they too are liable for the consequences of the laws determined for the laws that they helped violate. That was hard getting that sentence out. Pelosi is a co-conspirator. I think that is clear enough now. It turns out that the information given to the House Intelligence Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee about torture about what the plans were is sufficient to indicate that these Democratic members of Congress, screw the Republicans. You know, I don't give a rat's ass about Republicans. They can all rapture or get, you know, run over by Greyhound buses. I really don't care. It's the Democrats that are in, it's infuriating. So I think it's become more and more clear why Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid utterly and absolutely refused. And I realize it's Pelosi's game, but Harry Reid carries some influence also. So, respond after DowningStreet.org/judiciarycommittee. You think that'll help? Maybe it will. Just to let the pro-Constitution members of the House Judiciary Committee know that we're behind them. And they have to know that. They have to be convinced that we're behind them. So, after DowningStreet.org/judiciarycommittee. Check it out, okay? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. Very quick correction. After DowningStreet.org/judiciarycommittee. I left off the word committee, I think. So if you're trying to log on to the website, after DowningStreet.org/judiciarycommittee, this is so you can notify members of the House Judiciary Committee that a week from today in the morning between 9 and 11 when Nancy Pelosi is, or between 10 and noon Eastern Time, when Nancy Pelosi is going to allow a little teeny bit of talk about impeachment, you can back up the House Judiciary Committee members and say, no, we want more in a little bit. We want these bastards out. So it is after DowningStreet.org/judiciarycommittee. Sorry about that. Here's a news flash for you. Former Texas Senator Phil Graham resigned today from his role as John McCain's campaign co-chair. You know, this is a freak that called us a nation of whiners and said all our complaints about how miserable the U.S. economy has become show that we are just in a, quote, mental recession, end quote. Jesus, God. Graham said in a statement, this just came out. Within the past hour or so, Graham said in a statement late Friday that he is stepping down, quote, to end this distraction, end quote. You piece of human waste. You are going. See, there's another one. Phil Graham should be indicted for bank fraud. He is vice president, isn't he? Of UBS. UBS testified today, didn't they? Or was that yesterday? Oh, we'll never do it again. We're going to make sure that all of our accounts from here on out, honest to God, Mr. Legislator, we're going to make sure that everything's on the up and up. Sorry. How much? $100 billion out of the U.S. Treasury. Gee, who'd have thunk it? Huh? Phil Graham is the vice chairman of UBS. Phil Graham defines a criminal as well as defining somebody who looks like a goddamn turtle. But he defines criminal activity. This, I mean, he just does. people get their bowels in an uproar about some little creepy mafia dude in New Jersey or Pennsylvania or New York. Those guys are nothing. Phil Graham is a world-class international criminal, like so many Republicans given a chance. So he's decided that his comments are a distraction to John McCain's vital, lively campaign, and he's stepping down. Here's his statement. It's clear to me that Democrats want to attack me rather than debate Senator McCain on important economic issues facing the country. That kind of distraction hurts not only Senator McCain's ability to present concrete programs to deal with the country's problems, it hurts the country. So to end this distraction and to get on with the real debate, I hereby step down as co-chair of the McCain campaign and join the growing number of rank-and-file McCain supporters, end quote. Yeah, that number is growing because so many of you freakoids who attached yourself like lampreys to this dying man's campaign have had to quit because you keep opening your mouths and inserting your feet or worse. Some body appendage you keep stuffing into your own mouths. So that's the growing number of McCain supporters. They're former McCain campaign people. Jesus. Graham made the comments to the Washington Times about we're a nation of whiners and then said he was talking about the nation's leaders. Not the American people. Yeah, oh, okay. Barack Obama's campaign said Graham's departure will make little difference to McCain's economic policies, which is true because McCain has no economic policies. They don't exist. They're not there. There's no there. It's an empty space, a vacuum, a black hole, an event horizon. Oh, don't get me on the word horizon. Oh, what the hell? Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki have agreed to set a time horizon for U.S. troop withdrawals as part of a long-term security pact. Security pact between the U.S. and Iraq? Iraq needs protection against us. He needs to make a security pact with the Soviet or the Russians or the Chinese or, I don't know, who else over there? The Israelis. He's making a security pact with us? Remember last night I told you the story of the frog and the scorpion? The two leaders, Bush and Maliki, the two leaders, that's what, is this an Associated Press story? Hell, I don't even know. No, it's a French news agency, AFP. The two leaders, speaking by video conference, also settled on a, quote, common way forward, end quote, in stumbling talks to craft a long-term pact governing diplomatic ties and the U.S. military presence. See, U.S. forces, let me tell you something. The U.S. forces are, according to the U.N. mandate for our presence there as an occupying force, that mandate runs out at the end of this year. Did you know that? And unless the Iraqi government and the regime of George Bush, which is pretty much one and the same, unless they come to an agreement of a continuation of U.S. military forces, we will be in violation of the U.N. mandate as of January 1, 2009. Did you know that? I didn't, but there it is. Now, the you know, Maliki has been kind of demanding a timetable for U.S. troops to withdraw. Maliki's fake government also has been raising a little sand about the Bush crime family's demands that our military and our murder contractors like Blackwater and DynCorp and the rest of them be immune from Iraqi prosecution. One of the sticking points, you see, the Bush crime family wants our people, whether they're in uniform or not, and especially the ones not in uniform, because the ones in uniform are supposedly covered by the Uniform Code of Military Justice, but the Iraqi, the American contractors who have been committing murder and mayhem and theft and fraud in Iraq are not covered by anything. And Bush wanted to keep it that way. Cheney, I should say, wanted to keep it that way. Bush couldn't find his ass with both hands, but Cheney wanted to keep it that way. And Maliki, poor little puppet, I don't think we can do that. Shut up! I've got a whole parliament over here. They also agreed that this pact will include a general time horizon. Quick, someone tell me what that means. What does that mean? And the time horizon is being put in place for meeting aspirational goals. Aspirational goals. What is that? No more slaughter of Iraqi civilians? What are aspirational goals? Oh, my God. Time horizon. No timeline. No withdrawal. No timetable. No. No specific date certain. No. Now it's called a time horizon. Are you ready for that, truth seeker? Can your little mind handle that without snapping completely? Mine can't. Time horizon. Aspirational goals. We aspire not to have our families murdered and blown into a million pieces when you folks want to use your Willie Peter on us. Aspirational goals and time horizons. McCain jumped right in. McCain said the agreement on a time horizon for American troop presence, my friends, is further evidence that the surge has succeeded, my friends. Jesus Christ. Someone ought to just explain to him that, he's not being tied down and waterboarded anymore. His arms have been out of their sockets for about 40 years now. He's not in the Hanoi Hilton. There's the woman with the snake eyes near him is not a North Vietnamese interrogator. Someone needs to clue John in as to what the hell is going on. Don't you think? We'll be right back.
Somewhere else I haven't seen another smile that's new to me further on. So I'm chasing hours by, riding on this ribbon highway that stretches on and on. I met a girl 6 towns ago. She told my fortune by the road, and now her words are on my mind. Take a little time here while you're on the road, but don't get too very comfortable. I know you're...
Free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
I want that peace, free and Iraq. Give me some peace, free and. Did anyone ever figure out what that meant? What language it was in? What the reference was? A peace, free and Iraq. One way to get rid of Nancy Pelosi is to vote for Cindy Sheehan, who is running against her this November, and send Nancy Pelosi into some other profession. She will make a great lobbyist for the war industry. Go to Cindy Sheehan's website, and you'll find it. Cindy Sheehan, I'm not sure what it is, Cindy Sheehan for Congress, whatever, just go there. If Barack Obama can raise $52 million in the month of June, why can't Cindy Sheehan raise, $4 or $5 million in the month of July? I don't know that she hasn't. I'm just tossing it out. Back to the event horizon. No, time horizon. That's right. Event horizon is a black hole. Time horizon is a black hole. And aspirational goals. That's what we're about. That's what we're about in Iraq. a time horizon and aspirational goals. Now, Barack Obama's spokesman, Bill Burton, described this garbage that came out today as a step in the right direction. What? You see, this is why I don't want to talk about Barack Obama. I really don't. But here you go. His spokes guy comes out and says, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. A step in the right direction. Uh-huh. Burton went on to say it was now time to, this is a quote, time to pressure Iraq's leaders to reach the political accommodation necessary for long-term stability and to refocus on strengthening our military and finishing the fight in Afghanistan, end quote. That's what Bill Burton said today, the spokesman for Barack Obama's campaign in regards to Maliki and Bush deciding that it's time for a time horizon and aspirational goals. Oh, my God. Fool me once, you know. So that's what Maliki and Bush did today. Tim in Indiana writes, today Manor Monkey came out with his cheesy-ass timeline or time horizon for troop withdrawal. The only purpose this choice of phrasing serves is to give John McCrazy some cover, a little shadow for him to scurry into if he needs it. Time horizon is a trick bag, and not even a well-disguised one. The thing to remember about a horizon, Tim writes, no matter how long you travel toward one, it's still always off in the distance somewhere. Yeah. And regarding the hearing, the UBS hearing today, Andre writes, seems to me any time some kind of hearing is presented in the Senate, it's a diversion. Remember all those oil executives gouging the world? If someone has a list of 1,000 tax cheats, a prosecutor picks it up, or the FBI or whatever, and they go after the chumps. Or am I wrong? Andre, I don't know where you live. You think you live in a country that is run, you think we're still a nation of laws. And Reg writes, regarding the mini-hearing that Kucinich is going to get a week from today, sorry, Mike, it's another useless hearing, and all our letters and phone calls will be meaningless because the American public at large will never hear the testimony or even know that the hearings are being held. Just as the Kucinich impeachment articles were totally ignored by the corporate media, this token hearing will be over and forgotten in a matter of hours. Our little world of concerned and aware Americans has grown even smaller now. We speak to one another and comfort each other in our dismay over the destruction of this nation, but there is really no great wave of rage out there, and far too much apathy and even greater ignorance. Yeah, I'll call. Reg writes, and I'll write, and I'll encourage a few other people to do so, but I'm not certain they'll do little more than humor me a bit. If the major news networks were to magically announce that they would air this historic hearing, there might be a reaction from the public. I'm not even sure that most Americans know that there is a House Judiciary Committee. Excuse me. After all, only a tiny handful of Americans know about Bush's Presidential Directive 51 or have even ever heard about the Military Commissions Act. Impeachment, 9/11 questions, and criticism of Israel are totally taboo topics. Nothing any of us can do will change that for a long, long time. Reg. Well, that's kind of the attitude I have too, Reg, but, you know, I'm still going to do it, and like you, I will encourage people to get in touch with the House Judiciary Committee members. And also to encourage people to support Cindy Sheehan. I swear to God, I mean, at what point? At what point do we stop bitching and whining like Phil Graham said and do something? You know, like have Phil Graham arrested and support Cindy Sheehan to take Nancy Pelosi's seat in Congress, right? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Bleiben auf einen können wir Wunden heilen und alles erreichen. Diesen Horizont weiten Schreien. Rage the Horizon. Als kleines Kind schlug in meinem Herzen der Traum, durch die Augen aller Menschen in die Sterne zu schauen. Überwinde dich selbst, bis die letzten Wände zerschellen. Renn zum Ende der Welt und du erkennst, wenn du fehlst, dass jeder Mensch das Schicksal der Menschheit in den Händen hält. And tonight they are silently dying. Our sleep is the blood where they lie. And I know the sun will be rising until we open our eyes.
I feel I owe it to the families to be as, you know, to be in solidarity as best as I can with them. And I think, you know, playing golf during a war, it just sends the wrong signal.
Oh, my God. Art writes in, Mike, explain why a government can't be assembled during an occupation, in reference to Maliki. Maliki, Art writes, is a longtime CIA asset planted and appointed by neocons to do the bidding of the Bush administration, whenever possible. Who elected him? What Iraqi government? A government can't be assembled during an occupation for the obvious reasons. I think they're obvious. I believe it is explained in the it's in the Geneva Conventions. I'm not sure which one, but the summary of these kinds of decisions were put together in 1948, 49. If you do a Google search, and I just don't have time to do it, but if you're interested. I think you'll find the answer. It may be the fourth Geneva Convention. I'm not sure which one. But there is a strict prohibition, for obvious reasons, of voting or an election being held while an occupying army is in your country. For Christ's sake. I mean, what's hard about this? We talked about this a couple of years ago when Maliki was a couple of years ago. Not Maliki, but when the first government was put together. And represent the Sunnis refused to participate, and there was a movie, a documentary made about it, and so on and so forth. You don't do this. You can't do it. It's insane. Now, we do it. There's an occupying army in Japan when they rewrote their the constitution and elected members to the Diet. Is that what their parliament is called? But the formation of a government under the control and auspices and oversight of an occupying army is strictly prohibited. How would it be legitimate? It would not. There's no way in hell it would be legitimate. So, Art, that's about all I can say on that. Michael Savage, Michael Wiener. A talk show host based in, is he in San Francisco still? What a piece of human waste. This guy should have been a prison guard at Sobibor or Auschwitz or Dachau. What a piece of human waste. And he claims to be the third most listened to radio talk show in the country. His syndicator, Talk Radio Network, claims that this pig is heard on 350 radio stations, which is probably true. You know, most liberal programs are lucky if they can make the 25 mark, but you take a threat to freedom and to honor and to decency and to ethical behavior like Michael Wiener, Michael Savage, sure, corporate America will put this son of a bitch out there on 350 stations. It's just like a Limbaugh or Hannity. These people provide cover, protection. They run a protection racket for corporate America. While they are these three horsemen of the apocalypse, while they are showing utter and absolute disrespect for anything lawful in this country, and causing their listeners to get totally confused. Corporate America continues its theft and murder and corruption and invasion and occupation. It just continues. So Savage, Limbaugh, Hannity, these are people who should be put on trial for war crimes the same way that Tokyo Rose was, right? Of course, I don't think she ever served any time, but at least she was put on trial. So why have I got my bloomers in a wad about this piece of human dreck tonight, this Michael Wiener? On his nationally syndicated radio show, the July 16th edition, Michael Savage claimed that children suffering from autism are involved in what he calls, quote, a fraud, a racket. He goes on, I'll tell you what autism is. In 99% of the cases, it's a brat who hasn't been told to cut the act out. That's what autism is. What do you mean they scream and they're silent? They don't have a father around to tell them, don't act like a moron, you'll get nowhere in life. Stop acting like a putz. Straighten up, act like a man. Don't sit there crying and screaming, idiot. End quote. Jesus, God. Savage then concluded after this rant against autistic children, he said, if I behaved like a fool, my father called me a fool, and he said to me, don't behave like a fool. The worst thing he said, don't behave like a fool, don't be anybody's dummy, don't sound like an idiot, don't act like a girl, don't cry. That's what I was raised with, that's why you're a sick son of a bitch. I just added that. He goes on, that's what you should raise your children with. Stop with the sensitivity training. You're turning your son into a girl, and you're turning your nation into a nation of losers and beaten men. That's why we have the politicians we have. Why was there an asthma epidemic among minority children? Because I'll tell you why. The children got extra welfare if they were disabled, and they got extra help in school. It was a money racket. Everyone went in and was told, when the nurse looks at you, go, I don't know, the dust got me. See, everyone had asthma from the minority community. You mean Negroes, don't you? You piece of human waste, you death camp guard, you hater of children, you sick, twisted pervert. God! And Talk Radio Network says, oh, yes, he's our man. He's on 350 stations, and we make a lot of money on him, even though he is really a Nazi death camp guard who has been reincarnated as Michael Savage, the head of Savage Nation. Why do people listen to this? How does a piece of slime like this, pond scum, get on 350 radio stations? And for the radio stations that carry him, how dare you? How dare you do this? What's next, Michael? Kids that have cancer are goddamn fakers? Right? All those lumps and bumps and their deaths have absolutely nothing to do with the real world. They're just acting like little girls. Is that it, Savage? You train wreck? Oh, my God, I hate this guy. I mean, Limbaugh, I agree with Oberman. Limbaugh is almost a comedian. He has overstayed. He has jumped the shark so many times that there's no way to take Limbaugh seriously. Hannity is a little mouth breather who will do anything. He'll touch anything. He'll kiss anything. Anything to position himself to take over when Limbaugh finally has a huge, massive, fat-encrusted heart attack. Hannity's just waiting. I'm next. I'm next. I'm next. I'm next. But Savage? Michael Wiener? Who puts this on the air? What does he have to say about gay folk? What does he have to say about minorities, so-called? What does he have to say about now kids with autism? Savage, you're a hate-filled son of a bitch, and you would have fit in perfectly at one of those children's death camps in Poland or Germany during World War II. You would have fit in perfectly. You piece of human waste. Autism, kids suffering from autism are faking. It's a money racket. 350 radio stations. Well, if there are any program directors out there listening tonight who carry this station, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you for disrespecting families, the country, everything, by putting pigs like this on the air. Shame on you. Shame on you. How do you do it? Is it the money? Sure, it's the money. Nazi. And he claimed, Wiener claims he's Jewish. No, he's not. He's not Jewish. He's a goddamn Nazi. He's a complete Nazi who would have been very comfortable sending children into the ovens. He's not Jewish. Don't let him fool you. He hides behind that. He's no more of a Jew than I am. Ah. I mean, sometimes, you know, some things really push me over the edge, and this happens to be one of those things that push me over the edge. How do people like that wind up in communicate in radio? Why does Talk Radio Network put this pig on the air? Well, I don't know. Those are rhetorical questions. You know, if they make $10 a program, I don't know if he pays to be on the air, but let's say he makes his network makes 10 bucks a program clear, and he's really on 350 stations, that's $3,500 a day. That's $21,000 a week. That's $1 million a year or something. I don't know. What is it? $1 million, whatever it is. That's why this half-witted animal, this Nazi, can go on the air and tell people who have children with autism that they're running a money racket, that all you have to do is smack the little bastard around, straighten up, get real, don't be a whiny-ass little girl. Savage, you are subhuman.
Hey, hey, hey. Let me do that right here.
Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Next hour, we've got about 4 minutes of sound we're going to play for you. Vince Bugliosi was finally allowed on CNN on the early morning show yesterday or today. I guess it was today. And he was interviewed by no less than Kiran Chetri, who has got to be one of the most empty-headed little twits ever to occupy, you know, she's very cute, right? Occupy a so-called anchor's desk. She and John Roberts. John Roberts made the move to CNN when CBS didn't give him Dan Rather's job. And Roberts has just slowly deteriorated into a gibbering moron in the morning. Sometimes if I get too much of Joe Scarborough and can't stand Morning Joe, I'll switch over to these two clowns on CNN. Well, Kiran Chetri, the female part of this Gruesome Twosome does the interviewing, and I want you to hear this. We'll play it for you when we come back after the break. But she's interviewing Vince Bugliosi, as we did, about his book about indicting George W. Bush for murder. You're going to love it. And you know it is election season when members of the Bush crime family start talking about terror again. Here they come. Here they come. Michael Chertoff said yesterday that European terrorists are trying to enter the U.S. with European Union passports. And there's no guarantee that officials under his firm leadership will catch them every time. Oh, God. Oh, no. You know, this is the same guy that tried to warn us, when was it, about a year ago, about blue-eyed white people who were being recruited, I don't know, being brainwashed by all these Muslims somewhere out in some desert mountain place, you know, Norwegians or Scandinavians or whatever the hell they were referring to. But they are blue-eyed, blonde, white people. See, blue-eyed, blonde, white people. That way you know they're not really a Muslim. If it's a blue-eyed, blonde, white person, couldn't possibly be a Muslim. So that's where the trick is, because they really are Muslims after they have been taken to Camp Madrasas and totally brainwashed and given bombs and stuff and told to go to Bowling Green, Ohio and blow the city up. I guess that's what we were told about a year ago. Well, that didn't work. Nobody paid any attention to it. It's like, oh, yeah, really? Well, bring back the color-coded candy lifesaver thing. We liked that. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to, you know, the color-coded terror alert thing. Anyway, Michael Chertoff's comments on Capitol Hill yesterday comes as the country is entering a potentially vulnerable period with the presidential nominating conventions coming up next month, the presidential elections in November, and the transition to a new administration in January, all of which may be attractive targets for terrorists. Chertoff told lawmakers in D.C., quote, the terrorists are deliberately focusing on people who have legitimate Western European passports, who don't appear to have records as terrorists. I have a good degree of confidence we can catch people coming in, but I have to tell you, there's no guarantee. And they're working very hard to slip by us. End quote. Chertoff, of course, and other of these people from the Ape House have delivered warnings like this before, and this time Chertoff said, well, no, there's no new information, I'm just saying. And Chertoff reiterated his concern that terrorists could sneak radiological material into the U.S. on small boats or private aircraft. The material could be used to create an explosive device known as a dirty bomb, as opposed to a clean one. A dirty bomb. So you know it's election season when these vermin start the conversation like this again. You see? Now the implication is, oh my God, don't vote for a Democrat. Jesus Christ, you want the whole country to be blown up? Vote for the senile guy with a snake-eyed old lady. Then we'll all be safe. It just doesn't stop, does it? If someone truly wanted to bring a so-called dirty bomb into this country, how long do you think it would take them? Probably long enough to get a boat in, pick a country, Jesus, Mexico. How's that? And float over to, pick a city, Houston or Galveston Island, and just step off and bring your box in and, you know, walk to the nearest Greyhound station, get on a dog, go to Denver and blow up the whole goddamn city. How long would that take? It's just nobody's done it yet. Not because of Chertoff and his mega bloated bureaucracy. Department of Homeland Security. Oh, yes, indeed. They only bring this stuff out when there's an election. Scare them. Was it Goebbels that came up with that? It was Goering. It's so easy to manipulate a population. Just create a monster. And the monster's out there, and you're going to protect everybody from the monster. This is sort of like Grendel and Beowulf. This is so old, it has a 75-foot beard on it. Watch out for Grendel. I'm the only one that can protect you. Oh, yeah? Yeah. He's out there at night. Don't go outside the campfire. He'll eat you.
But I'm here!
So there's Chertoff, whose name in Russian means of the devil. Chertoff, whose name in Russian means of the devil. Or if you want to be literate, of Satan or whatever. I don't know. I don't speak Russian. But there he is.
Watch out for the blue-eyed white boys. The Europeans. They're coming.
You know, black folks sitting around going, really? This is news? What are you trying to tell us, of the devil? That we should watch out for blue-eyed, blonde-haired white people? Where you been? We've been watching out for blue-eyed white people for 350 years. Stick around. We have some entertainment coming up for you next, and also your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. All right. What we want to play for you, this is, I guess it's from this morning. Is it from this morning? I think it's from this morning. Vince Bugliosi, the author of the book that lays out murder charges against Chucklenuts, President Chucklenuts, has suffered a pretty intense media blackout. I know a couple of impatient listeners to this program accused me of being part of that, you jerks, while we were struggling to get him on the air. But anyway, the real media blackout doesn't have to do with this radio program. It has to do with CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. That's your real media. So he finally made it onto CNN, where he is interviewed here by, what's her name, Kiran Chetri. She's a former Fox news girl. And I want you to hear this. She is part of that horrendous CNN morning team that is going right down the commode with the poor old John Roberts, who should have been the evening anchor, had it not been for Katie Couric over at CBS after they got rid of Dan Rather. But here you go. It's Vince Bugliosi and Kiran Chetri. I want you to listen to this.
The main issue at the trial, legal issue, is that Bush would claim that he took this nation to war in self-defense. Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, therefore was an imminent threat to security of this country, so he had to strike first in self-defense. If he could do that, it would be a legal justification for what happened. The prosecutor, though, if he could prove that Bush did not take this nation to war in self-defense, but under false pretenses, then all of the killings, Kiran, of American soldiers in Iraq would become unlawful killings and therefore murder.
Now, throughout the book, you describe George W. Bush in these ways. You call him spoiled, a callous brat, draft-dodging, arrogant son of privilege, dense, lazy, inhuman, wimpish punk. You clearly don't like George W. Bush personally. Is that part of the reason why you wrote this book?
Oh, God.
Well, the main reason that I wrote this book is to bring George Bush to justice. How dare this man? How dare he take this nation to war on a terrible, terrible lie, under false pretenses, and as a direct result, over 100,000 precious human beings, including 4,000 young American soldiers, as I'm talking to you right now, are in their cold graves at this very moment because of George Bush.
So you don't have to take that point.
You don't have to take my word for this.
Well, in the book, you do write about that, and you say that you believe he probably never lost a wink of sleep over it, referring to the war. But I do want to bring your attention to this.
Here it comes.
Something that Scott McClellan, who
here it comes,
also wrote a book and was very critical of his former boss. He described President Bush on a visit to Walter Reed Hospital, and what he wrote was, after visiting briefly, Bush turned back to the soldier. This is a soldier who suffered a catastrophic brain injury. Whispered in his ear, "God bless you," turned and walked toward the door. Looking straight ahead, he moved his right hand to wipe away a tear. In that movement, and this is Scott McClellan, I could see the doubt in his eyes and the vivid realization of the irrevocable consequences of his decision. This description doesn't seem like a man who didn't feel sorrow and understand some of the treachery of war.
You shouldn't go there. All you have to do is read the book. The evidence is overwhelming. There's people reading this book with high blood pressure that tell me they can't read more than 4 or 5 pages of this book without putting it down because they get so angry. You're talking about a particular moment, a tear crosses his eyes. This guy has been having fun and enjoying life throughout the entire war.
Do you think that you're going that he would actually ever face prosecution, or is this more grandstanding?
Grandstanding on my part? Let me tell you this. At this stage of my career, Kiran, I don't have time for fanciful reveries. I never in a million years would propose bringing a murder prosecution against George Bush if I didn't feel there was more than enough evidence to convict him and that I was standing on very solid legal ground. Now, if you were to ask me what's the probability of his being prosecuted, probably not a high probability.
You have a lot of personal feelings about the situation. Does that take away from your ability to, be taken seriously? Because,
as your critic,
such a hatred, a personal hatred of George W. Bush, does that dilute your legal arguments?
No, it's not going to change. It's a legal argument at all. I mean, I'm motivated because of a lot of passion against this guy. Those that are reading this book, those that aren't reading it, they think it's crazy. Those that are reading this book, no one is saying this book is crazy.
You've certainly experienced a media blackout of sorts. Why do you think this is so radioactive?
Well, because people are just terrified of the thought of prosecuting George Bush for murder. The left wing is afraid of the right. The right wing has their own fears. They're not afraid of the left wing, but they don't want to put me on and give me a forum to speak to millions of Americans talking about prosecuting their guy, the guy they love so much, for first-degree murder, and he could end up on death row.
Well, Vincent Bugliosi, thank you for joining us today.
Karen, thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Now, we asked CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin for his thoughts on the book's premise of prosecuting the president for murder. He tells us that President Bush, quote, has no immunity for a charge of murder. If he shoots someone, he could be charged. But there is no precedent for a charge of murder in these circumstances. Toobin also says there is no basis to justify a prosecutor bringing this case.
Really? Is that what Jeffrey said? There's no basis. Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to post a link at our website to this video so you can watch it yourself tonight or whenever you want to. And what we couldn't bring you, of course, because this is radio, are the facial expressions or lack thereof of a sweet little Miss Kiran Chetri. The inanity of her questions is exceeded only by the obvious idiocy. Whoever, whatever producer of this program cut out that quote from Scott McClellan's book about he had a tear go across his eye. So how can you say he should be prosecuted for murder? The tear, Karen, was because the soldier wasn't dead and was therefore proof of Bush's butchery. How's that? Try that one on, Karen. Unbelievable. You know, Kiran Chetri looks like, I realize she just had a kid. She's married, yada, yada, yada. She looks like she's about 20 years old. I know she's older than that. And I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm not trying to be reverse ageist or anything of the sort. What I'm trying to say is that this is the kind of slop that is put on network television. Why do I watch it? Well, I didn't see this. Somebody sent me the video. But this is the kind of slop that's out there. Rather than question Bugliosi about the legal basis for what he would make charges against premeditated murder against this evil son of a bitch, instead of doing that, Kiran Chetri quotes from Scott McClellan's book about a tear drifting out of George Bush's eye and traveling down his cheek. Now I ask you, Vince, how could a man that you describe in such negative ways in your book could possibly have had a tear on his cheek? This is the kind of slop and garbage. This is why nobody knows what Directive 51 is. This is why nobody understands how Maliki got to be the prime minister of Iraq. This is why on and on and on and on. So why get my bloomers in a wad about it, right? What difference does it make? Just one of, you can find examples like this all day long on network and cable television. The only reason this has any import to me whatsoever is the fact that, he was on this program for an hour. Kiran Chetri and John Roberts and the Morning in America, whatever the hell that cheesy, crappy-ass CNN program is called. They have him on, Kathy, for 4 minutes, 5 minutes. That little interview is four and a half minutes. So what they have him on? 5 minutes max? Five and a half? That's it? With questions about, you must hate him, huh, Vince? You must hate him. Does that color your the legal basis because you hate him? What kind of a half-ass question was that? Because you hate him, the legal basis isn't there? Dear God! Down the side.
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. What other kind of weirdness have we got here tonight? Anything else, Kathy, that we need to... I think we have time for this. This comes from... this is an email from our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief. He writes, Mike, on Thursday night I caught the email you read about Carter's energy speech and how it could have prevented the oil problems we have today. Well done, except you should have ridden that pony a little bit further. Carter's speech was in response to the second oil shock, the one in 78. I was living in Dallas at the time, and gasoline shot up to 60 cents a gallon in Dallas. Freaked him out. Real good, because that just doesn't happen in Texas, but it did. So what got the flying monkey rights panties in a wad? Yeah, Carter's speech was a threat to big oil, the thought of replacing black crude with renewable green, but it went further than that. Carter actually asked the American people to get off their brain-dead asses and think beyond their next tank of gas. Learn how to walk again. Invest in public transportation. Sweat a little more in the summer and shiver a little more in the winter. Next time you trade in the land yacht, think smaller instead of bigger. Holy Christ, this is totally contrary to the American lifestyle and consumer culture. Scale back? Live within our means? In the land of the free lunch and easy credit, the affordable McMansion with two Cadillacs in the driveway? Hell no. That's not the Dallas that J.R. Ewing knew and loved, and damn sure wasn't the shining city on the bankrupt hill that Reagan promised us. And so it went. Carter bad, Reagan good. Carter installed solar panels on the White House roof. Reagan had them torn down. God bless America. Now let's fast forward to today. What is Al Gore asking America to do? Yeah, same story as Carter. Same response. Al Gore dared to say that maybe, just maybe, Americans are planting the seeds of their own demise right now, and if we act in the present, we can save ourselves the load of grief in the future. But there is one very significant thing wrong with that in the mind of a Republican freak like, Senator Jim Inhofe. The flying monkey right is not to be criticized. The flying monkey right is not to be challenged. The flying monkey right has the God-given right of the right to judge queers, liberals, non-Christians, and Barack Hussein Obama any damn way it wants to, but put the blame for a bleak future on a society that thrives on disposable goods and conspicuous consumption? No freaking way. The flying monkey right judges you. You do not judge the flying monkey right. Now you know why Dim Sun motivated the forces of righteousness to run up their credit card limit at the mall as a way to really stick it to the terrorists, and why giving up golf is a patriotic sacrifice in the age of Bush. There's no recession. $10 billion a month to occupy Iraq is a sound investment. We can borrow our way into prosperity. Deficits equal wealth. Just don't ask anyone to cut back on anything. It's bad for politics. And bad for business, and that makes it bad for everyone. Our Broken Arrow Bureau Chief, Nelson, who's also, isn't he in charge of the message board, the MikeMalloy.com message board? I should know that. I'm embarrassed. I should know that. The MikeMalloy.com message board is autonomous. It does whatever it goddamn pleases. I have no control. Nelson and the other monitors run it as they choose and see fit. Yeah, every once in a while I get a complaint. You know, people email me, well, guess what? I got beat up on your message board. You know, your monitors and that Nelson guy, they were just real mean to me. You know, my answer to that is, oh, you know, it's like what Michael Savage says to the parents of autistic children. Oh, straighten up, goddammit. It's just, you're just wimpy, you're a whiner. What did Savage say, Michael Wiener say about gay folk? That he wished they would all die of AIDS, choke on a sausage. What, is that what he said? What a pig.
I believe it was actually specific remarks to a gay caller, and he said, why don't you go choke on a sausage?
I wish you would die of AIDS.
Go die of AIDS.
Yeah. Nice guy, huh? Yeah, anyway, if you go to MikeMalloy.com and go to the message board, have fun. There's an awful lot of stuff there to do. But again, that is run by Nelson and who else? Tom. Who else runs that? Who else is in charge over there? Yuri? Sister Novena? Who else? There's a very... interesting group who runs MikeMalloy.com message board. So if you have the courage, go there. Join the fun. Thanks, Nelson. All right, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
25 before the hour. You want to do some phone calls? Is anybody on hold? Is there anybody there? Let's take a look. Start with Susan, quick. Susan, I'm sorry. You've been holding on for 2 hours. Listening on WINZ in Oakland Park, Florida. Hi, Susan.
And it's been a pleasure.
Oh, okay.
I've hit the trifecta tonight because I can tie together your first topic, youvebeenleftbehind.com.
Yeah.
And Michael Savage Wiener.
Yeah.
And Kieran What's Her Name and Who Can Get a Talk Show.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
When Air America dropped the Sam Cedar Show 2 or 3 months ago on Sunday evenings, WINZ began airing, get ready.
Okay.
The Jesus Christ Show.
The
Jesus Christ Show. Their toll-free number is blank, 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 Holy Host.
No, come on.
And after, I swear, and after the intro, the host comes on and intones in a very mellow baritone, this is the Jesus Christ Show, and I am.
I am who?
No, that's it.
That's it?
I am. And there's a silence for a while, and then he starts taking calls. And the callers say things like, hello, Jesus, I love you with all my heart.
Oh, stop. Come on.
They ask questions about, this is all stuff I heard the very first time. They ask questions about everything from how to be better shepherds of their money.
Yeah.
His answer involved donating to the church.
A shepherd of your money?
Yes.
A shepherd?
Yes. And whether thinking impure thoughts is a sin, the answer to that one was yes.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard this stuff, I just started laughing hysterically. I thought it was a joke.
Right. It probably is, right?
No. I realized these callers are absolutely serious. They actually think that Jesus Christ has come back and has a radio talk show.
No. That's impossible. Come on. That's impossible.
This show airs, I think it's from 4 to 7 on Sundays on WINZ. It is delayed. They've referenced morning a few times, so I know it's taped. It's delayed. But
and it's called.
I had to give up because the humor got lost, you know, somewhere between the first and second time I heard it. It's still on.
The Jesus Christ Show?
The Jesus Christ Show. You want the whole phone number?
No.
I didn't think so.
I know. I'm afraid that something will leap through the phone and eat my ear.
Well, there's only so many toll-free prefixes.
Yeah, 800 or 888. What, go ahead. What's the number?
877. Holy Host.
Holy Host?
Right.
877 Holy Host.
Yep. Sometimes he does say, this is the Jesus Christ show, and I am your Holy Host.
This has got to be a joke, Susan.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, you would.
It isn't.
Oh my God.
These people discuss their personal problems.
All right, I'm going to have to hear this. I'm going to have to tune in via they stream online, don't they?
I have no idea.
Well, I'll find
no computer,
out.
Don't know.
Oh,
I've never
okay.
tried to access it.
Well,
I'm already in enough trouble with the NSA.
Oh, are you ever?
Oh, yeah.
They accidentally sent me an email that was supposed to go to their enforcement division. It had your name all over it.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it was the first of many.
Now, Susan, when the detention centers come, you and I will probably be in adjoining cells, but I'll tell you what. That'll be a hoot. If that's the case, we'll just, you hold them, and I'll beat the hell out of them, and we'll escape, all right?
Okay. Can I throw in a couple of
things? Go ahead.
I just finished a book called Torture Team by Philippe Sands. He was a guest probably a couple of months ago now on Bill Moyer's Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, speaking of Douglas Fife, it's the whole lawyer contingent that approved the torture.
Oh, my God.
And the book is pretty good.
Called?
It's not the most scintillating reading because it's very, very lawyerly.
Mm-hmm. What's it
but
called?
It lays out the whole scenario chronologically from the Rumsfeld memo and before.
Right. And it's called Torture Team?
Torture Team.
Mm, that has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Addington, Fife, John Yoo,
oh, yeah. They,
Libby, name it.
Every single one of them should be put on trial using as a basis for their indictments the Geneva Conventions, the American law, international law.
Absolutely.
And they're going to walk because I swear I do not see, do you, Barack Obama, appointing a special prosecutor when he becomes president to go after these bastards. Do you see that happening?
Absolutely not. And he has said parsed very carefully and pointedly that he will investigate, but there's been no mention of prosecute.
Yeah, well.
Just investigate. And speaking of Vince Bugliosi,
mm-hmm.
I read his book before I read Torture Team.
Oh, yeah?
And he mentions multiple times throughout the book, of course there is no basis in law for what he wants to do. It's never been done before.
Yeah.
And technically speaking, as lawyers do, that's why Jeffrey Toobin can say there's no basis for it, because it would be a precedent-setting case.
Yeah, well.
He's using the word basis in a legal sense rather than a general
right.
sense of there's no reason for this. And also, incidentally, I don't think Bugliosi had a lot of love for Charles Manson when he prosecuted him.
I don't think so either.
You know,
but
hating your litigant
mm-hmm.
is not a reason to disqualify someone from bringing a prosecution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Last but not least, the Watergate hearings were held not in the House, but in the Senate. It was a Senate Select Committee,
right.
for those who remember.
Right.
And
well,
for those who don't, to let them know, it was convened and held in the Senate. It was televised
right.
every day, gavel to gavel.
It was incredible television.
It was fascinating.
It really was. The Senate Select Committee, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is Dick Nixon was never impeached. Never.
Mm-hmm, right, because he resigned before he could be, and then pardoned.
He resigned once these senators went to him and said, we are going to submit this to the House Judiciary Committee, and they are going to begin the hearings on impeachment, but here's the evidence. You are toast.
Right.
And at that point,
right. Those,
Nixon resigned.
The articles of impeachment went over to the House in the middle of the Senate hearing.
Right.
About a month and a half after it began and about a month before he resigned.
Well, that's why I always include Harry Reid when I talk about Nancy Pelosi's blocking of the Constitution, because Harry Reid could do the same thing that was done in the Senate in 1974. I guess it was 74 or 73. He could do the same thing. He could do exactly, Harry Reid could do exactly the same thing, and none of these people will. And I'll tell you, Susan, you know, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat all my life, but it's almost difficult for me to say that anymore.
I switched parties after the primary in Florida this year.
And you are now?
I'm an NPA. No party affiliation.
Oh, NPA.
Rather than an independent, which is a registered party in
right.
Florida.
Right.
And I don't know, I assume all across the country, but I've read their vision statement, and I don't agree with them either, so
yeah.
The independent party. So I went no party affiliation.
All right.
I'm a NIPA.
You're a NIPA. I always knew you were.
And last, I will remind you that a horizon is something you can't see beyond, isn't it?
That's true. It's something you can never really gain access.
You can't know what's on the other side.
And you can't gain access to it. So, yeah. What did they refer to it today? A withdrawal horizon? Is that what the term?
Time horizon.
Withdrawal.
Aspirational. Goal.
Yeah, I would like to say what that all equals, but I can't do it because this is family radio. Hey, Susan, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Take care.
You're welcome. Have a great.
All right, you too. Take care. Paula is calling from Bayonne, New Jersey, listening on the internet. Hey, Paula.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for holding on.
Ah, no problem. We missed the hell out of you while you were away.
Yeah, I missed me too. Or wait a minute.
The
no,
hell
never
out
mind.
Of you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
What was I going to say? The Jesus Show. The Jesus Show? Oh, my, you have to change it. You have to be the God Show.
Now, wait a minute.
Have to be the God Show, and you have to call the Jesus Show and, like, yell at him and ground him and stuff.
I think
it'll work.
Wait a minute. My producer is telling me it's a what, Kathy? It's a parody?
Not exactly a parody.
Well, wait, is this the Jesus Christ Show 10th anniversary cruise?
Yeah, and I don't know why he can't just walk across it. Why he needs the boat. But apparently there is some, if you go to the links, there's
hey,
a
Paula,
lot of
hold
Jesus
on. I got to put you on hold, Paula. Let me do that and I'll come back. And you were saying, Kathy?
There's a lot of Jesus-themed memorabilia. I'm not saying it's satire, but I do believe that there's the tongue-in-cheek aspect to it where the host, the Holy Host, is pretending to be Jesus.
Oh, okay. Well, you can check this out, I guess. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone. Suzanne in North Miami writes, Mike, your caller is telling the truth. I hear it here in Miami. WINZ 940 AM. Ashley took Sam off the air for this. I called the program director and he said it's a big hit in L.A. The host assumes to be Jesus Christ, introduces himself as your holy host, but he answers questions as if he were Jesus. Unreal. Suzanne. Okay, all right. I got about 50 emails on this now. Out of Clear Channel, LA, KFI, it's a fun show. It's kind of like Dial a Psychic. I love it. Let's see, this is from Cast Boy. I think it's syndicated. Airs here in LA on the right wing station, KFI. Wow, really? Oh, Jesus. Man, I'll have to stream this. I got to hear this. Thanks to the crew who worked so very hard tonight and all this week. All right, some of them did. Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. And I've been asked to announce that the latest Malloy reading his uncensored mail is up for Nova M Founding Club members. You can go to the website, which is novamradio.com, and you'll find it. And it's kind of cute. This one runs a little bit longer this time. It's, what is it, about 5 minutes, Kathy? The two of the letters I read, one accuses me of being an anti-Semite, and the other one accuses me of being, you know, so pro-Jewish that I can't see anything else. You know, when I get mail like that, I figure I must be doing something right. And don't forget, Seattle listeners and anybody in that neck of the woods, come to the Town Hall Forum August 16th at, where is it, Seattle, you can get all the information you want. Go to am1090.com. It's going to be an absolute blowout. The lineup consists of Rachel Maddow, Stephanie Miller, and Randy Rhodes, Sam Cedar, Tom Hartman, and me, and the moderator is going to be Ron Reagan, the real son of the former president, at 6 p.m. on August 16th, Saturday night, in Seattle. Runs for 3 hours, and if it's anything like what we've done before, this is going to be an absolute mind blower. I'm almost afraid to go. You put those six people, the six of us, up on a stage together. Woo! Katie barred the door. It is going to be some kind of fun, right? All right, back to Paula in Bayonne, New Jersey. Paula, I'm sorry. I'm just going on and on.
Ah, that's okay, Mike.
All right. Okay. What you got?
I have to ask if anybody hears this show live, the Jesus Show, hears it live. If you're a woman, please call up one day and say you're Mary of Nazareth and tell him to get off the damn radio and go clean his room because it's a pigsty.
Yeah, really. Really.
You know, I think I'm starting to think that this whole Christy stuff is just performance art.
I think you're right.
Because some of it is just too unreal.
It is bizarre beyond belief. I mean, all of the, you know, the rapture and the Jesus show and snakes and spiders and the ark and Eve bringing all this kind of pain and horror onto the earth. You know, oh, my God, please, somebody make it stop.
Yeah, fossils were planted by the devil to make us doubt. And there are people that actually believe that.
Really?
I mean, it's not even, you know... There are people that actually believe that, and that's what's absolutely insane.
And creationism to be taught in the schools instead of the science of evolution, because creationism challenges the mind to think analytically. Oh, my God.
I mean, wouldn't it? I think, you know, one day the guys from The Onion are going to say, sorry, it was all us.
Yeah, really.
It was a long-term project. Anyway, I wanted to mention the Bull Yossi thing.
Yeah.
The interview, when that woman brought up the Bush crying at the hospital. You know,
right.
It was crying.
Yeah. Why?
It was crying because it hurt so hard not to make bad jokes. You just know he wanted to call one of those amputees Stumpy. You know it.
Yeah, well, of course. Of
you
course
know it. You know it was hurting him inside. And
sure.
You know how he loves to say things like that.
Yeah, he likes to give people nicknames.
Yeah, so you just know, and that's why he was crying. He couldn't say what he wanted it to say because his mom told him he wouldn't be able to play his Xbox if he did. That's why. And I didn't, when you interviewed Vincent Bugliosi, didn't he say that his wife is a regular listener?
He did, but he may say that to everybody, you know.
Well, if she is listening, Mrs. Bugliosi, if that comes up again, and if he ever gets on mainstream media, and that comes up again, please bring up Bush joking about the weapons of mass destruction having to be somewhere.
Yeah, look, the dog's looking for him. Are they here? Are they under the piano? Maybe under the couch.
Yeah, I think, because that's the real Bush.
It is. Murder and Mayhem is a joke to him. It is playing with toy soldiers. It has no meaning in the real world. I just wish he could be impeached, tried, convicted, and whatever happens, I guess nothing happens. And then the International Criminal Court get a hold of him or the War Crimes Tribunal And whatever penalties are written into the law, that sort of law, that he would feel the full weight of them. But I don't think it's going to happen. Do you? Do you think Barack Obama is going to investigate this? Hello?
No, because I don't know if anyone would. I really don't. I'm not exempting anybody except for Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah.
I'm not exempting anybody who ran for the Democratic nomination from that doubt, because there's this sense they don't want to rock the boat. We'll sweep it under the rug and everything will be fine and we'll just fix it. And then some nut worse than Bush will come along in 20 years and we'll have to go through this all over again.
I hear you. Hey, Paula, we got a boogie. Thanks.
Have a great weekend, Mike.
You too. You too. Take care. Take care. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.